Hey everyone, it's Eric, and thanks for tuning in to this episode of Dialogue Tree. I have two conversations for you today. Up first, I speak with Logan Cunningham. Logan is an actor, best known for playing the role of Rux in the award-winning game Bastion. I talk to Logan about his experiences working on Bastion, as well as his voice acting process. Later, I'll speak with Darren Korb, the person responsible for the music of Bastion. So Logan, thank you very much for joining me on Second Quest.
My pleasure, thank you.
So Bastion was your first acting job for a video game. What unique challenges are there to doing acting work for a video game that aren't present in other mediums?
The task, like your acting task, the task of it is harder than it is in live action, like on stage or in front of a camera, because you're so limited. You have your voice and your imagination and the words in front of you, and like a director that you can hear in headphones, and that's it. That's all. And it's very lonely. It's very isolating. You have everything you're doing is just, it has to be so acute and so focused, and you're just looser and freer on stage, say. So that's what makes it harder, but I'd still say that voice acting is easier than the other kind of acting, than live acting, just because it's easier on you. Like, you're not, the hours are way shorter. You're not sitting around on a set for 16 or 18 hours a day waiting for, you know, them to move a light. You can wear whatever you want. So like that kind of stuff is what makes it easier. But as just like an acting challenge, there's kind of nothing else like it that I've done before.
Now, traditionally, when acting work is being done for video games, it's done line by line and sort of in no particular order. Is that difficult to sort of develop a character, get into the character? You know, when you don't have a sort of, you know, overarching narrative to kind of hang the entire performance on?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's the other reason voice acting in video games anyway is harder than live acting, because you usually don't know where you're going, because you're not given the entire script. For, I think, just security reasons, they don't give them to the actors. So you have the pages in front of you. Bastion was not that way, because we started with the first level, and then the second, and then the third, and then the fourth, and so on. There was no completed like script for me to read start to finish when I came on board the project. Everything was just piecemeal, so it was easier and more satisfying in that way, just to be able to see it through and going along with it like everyone else on the team.
Talk about the actual process a little bit more, if you could. I think most people have at least some understanding of the process of making a television show or a movie or theater. But I still think it's difficult or not common to have an understanding for the layman of what exactly is involved in making a video game creatively. What exactly was the sort of like physical process of making this character come alive for Bastion?
The initial direction that I was given was only like tone and feeling or mood and tone. They wanted something gruff. They wanted something with a bit of a Western vibe, so I knew he would have a Southern twang. They sent Amir Rao, studio director of Supergiant, when he asked me to just try something, they weren't even sure if this would work at all. They just wanted to try this experiment of a voiceover narration. He just came up with the idea one weekend. He sent along in the email asking me to do it a clip from Deadwood, of Ian McShane, the main character in Deadwood, Al Swearengen, and just said, look at this, and specified like 30 seconds of it to particularly pay attention to, and that's the kind of feeling we're going for. And that's all it was in the beginning. And, you know, we did a few passes of sort of test narration, again, not knowing if it would work or not, and then finally settled on a voice that we liked. And that was the bulk of the work for me, acting-wise. It was just like an aesthetic kind of technical thing, like getting the sound of this guy down.
Yeah, there's definitely sort of a world weariness to the character's voice. And did you draw anything from that in your personal life, or just how did you kind of bring that out in the character?
So those are some of my favorite characters, like that archetype of the old like gunfighter or just like the hard living, rough and tumble kind of guy. I mean, I grew up loving those characters and emulating them. I mean, I always joke that I feel like an old man. I've never been good at being young. I always just admired characters like that. Like, you know, I loved Wolverine growing up, reading X-Men, and you know, the old like sage characters like Obi-Wan Kenobi or Gandalf, or I don't know, I was always very attracted to the one that knows more than anybody else. And so I don't know, it's a place that I can get to pretty easily. But I was not totally comfortable dropping my voice really low. And that's something I had to learn. And it was perfect timing because I'd learned to do it, but I'd become more comfortable doing it, like speaking in a lower register, right before I started working on Bastion. So yeah, it was perfect.
What's more tiring? Is doing a physical performance more tiring, or is doing this sort of like intense mental performance and voice performance more tiring, or are they tiring in different ways?
They're tiring in different ways, because so like I'll be much more exhausted and my energy will be drained after doing like a bunch of takes for a film or television than I will whatever upteenth performance of a play that's going on. Because in the theater, you have 24 hours you don't do it again for another 24 hours. You go home, you sleep on it, and you come back, and it's the same, whatever it is, you know, 90 minutes, 3 hours, however long the play is.
So you kind of get into a rhythm.
You get into a rhythm, but doing take after take after take on a set in front of a camera, because it's just happening in that small space of time, it's just so draining in a way that's really, really interesting. And voice acting is not as bad. Again, just because it's not that stressful on you, like the situation, physically at any rate.
How did you actually get into acting? I know that you did some theater in high school, but you didn't come about working as a working actor, you know, until I think you graduated from college. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you decide that this is what you wanted to do?
I didn't know what else to do. I was going to graduate college and didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew that I wanted to stay in New York. I just kind of thought of, all right, I have to do something. There's nothing else I really want to do. Acting was the one thing that I'd done that I really, really enjoyed. I found it very difficult, which was attractive to me. Whenever I felt that I got it right, it was unlike anything I'd felt before. But I think what it was most of all was just during college. I didn't study acting at all during college. I studied like everything else basically. But I was taking all these English classes specific to like Shakespeare and classical British literature and plays of the Restoration. And I took a playwriting class one semester. And then I was a film student for a long time and making movies. And And I would be an actor as like a favor to people. I had a lot of friends who were directing majors or playwriting majors, and instead of using other actors in the theater department, they would just ask me to be in their final scene or whatever. So I was just doing it anyway. And also, I just really liked actors. Like I just realized I was spending so much time in my spare time just like watching interviews with them, or, you know, pouring over DVD features and commentary tracks and stuff. And it seemed like the life for me. So it's hard to describe, because it wasn't like a soul filling moment of discovery. Like, yes, this is what I was meant to do. I seemed to be an actor anyway. So in a way, it was just kind of a matter of time that I would get there. And then, of course, after I graduated, the first thing I did was like not do it. I just like sat around thinking about it for a few years, and kept on being an actor as like kind of a favor to people. And sometimes it would be something and it'd be fun and I would learn something. Sometimes it would be nothing. And then one time it was Bastion. I just did a friend a favor.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. You actually have known a couple people that were involved with Bastion. Darren Korp, who did the music, and I believe you knew Amir as well.
Yep, the three of us, yeah, we grew up together.
Yeah, so how was that, how was getting into video game acting, you know, through friends that you've known for a long time? I mean, was that just a favor you did for them and discovered that you liked it?
Yeah, pretty much. It was, yeah, I remember I didn't get a look at Bastion until the trailer, the very first trailer went up, which was like around PAX Prime 2010. And so I got a look at the game the first time when, the rest of the world got a look at the game for the first time. And it just blew my mind, because I'd been working on the thing for probably about 6 months at that point. And in my mind, I was just working on a friend's like pet project. And he had in fact started, it was a startup. He'd started a company and he'd done all the work, and he'd taken business classes and I'd signed like an NDA and all this stuff. But, I don't know. I couldn't understand how people could make, cause it, video game development, the actual like work it takes to make a game, like coding and everything, is still such a mystery to me. I don't understand it. I don't know how it happens. But for a long time in the beginning, I was just making a thing with a couple friends of mine. I mean, I work with Darren directly, and it's a lot of fun. It's very loose. For a long time, I sort of thinking ahead, I was like, okay, well, if this just turned out to be a thing and voice acting in other games becomes a possibility for me, or other voiceover period, I wonder how hireable I will actually be, because I'm working with friends, and it's very, very lax. It's very loose and very sort of, he indulged me quite a bit. And like our general process, the way we do it is just, we just do it and do it and do it and do it and do it until it's right. And like that probably doesn't fly in the real world. So
yeah. So by lax, you just mean that he gives you the time and the space to sort of take as much time as you need, basically
as much time as we need. And also we just, you know, are ridiculous. I mean, we're best friends from high school. We did improv comedy together. And so we lose many hours of work to just, you know, making stupid voices at each other and cracking up and stuff. So it's not the most professional thing in the world, but we do get it done.
How does it feel to become so well known? And Bastion has won awards, three or four awards, I believe. Now you won one of the awards at the VGA Awards, and you won an award at the IAS Awards for best mobile game or best downloadable game.
Downloadable, yeah.
How does that feel to get so much notice for something that you've done with people that you've known for years? I mean, does it feel surreal?
Yeah, hugely surreal. None of us really quite know like how to react to it, because we have no experience. We've nothing to compare this to. We've no basis for comparison. And so we're having kind of a almost a non-reaction. I mean, we're like smiling and going with it, but it's just, it's so strange. And I am, like, just speaking for myself, I'm just trying to enjoy it, and for however long it lasts, and I can't last forever. But yeah, it's just wacky, but it is the best feeling in the world. That, because, you know, you work on this thing and you do it in kind of a vacuum. Like, we liked the game, we thought it was good, but you don't know what's going to happen once you release it. And to see the awards are one thing, and the awards are great. Those are always a fantastic compliment. But the real amazing stuff is just seeing on Twitter and on our website and the emails that we get, that we all forward to each other, from, you know, people that just write in saying how much they love this game, and seeing people say that it's their favorite game or in their top five favorite games of all time. That just, it almost doesn't make any sense. So it's very surreal indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
Now speaking of award shows, you actually hosted the first annual New York Video Game Critics Circle Awards on February 2nd. Now I should say I was actually there, so I saw your hosting. How did you approach that job? I mean, did you approach that as another acting job, or?
I said yes to Harold without really thinking about it. Darren was involved already. Harold Goldberg had asked Darren to perform on stage with Ashley Barrett, the vocalist in Bastion, the voice of Zia. And so knowing that they were doing something already put me at ease. But yeah, my initial reaction was like, why would I host something, anything? And I thought going into it, I can either try and be like, I can try and just be funny or nice or endearing or whatever. And I decided to just kind of err on the side of being a little funny, but not super funny. It's a funny kind of thing, because you don't want to be like too funny, because then people will think you're funny, like professionally funny, and I'm not. But when you're hosting something or in that kind of a situation, it's a good idea to be a little bit funny, because it's just it breaks the ice or whatever. It's a strange thing to be doing. But I don't know. I accepted it without real hesitation at all, because that's kind of what I do. That's what I've been doing. Because when you're an actor, when you're just starting out, when you're young or whatever, you're supposed to turn nothing down. And because you never know, you just never know what's going to happen. So, you know, if you have friends that are student filmmakers or making low budget, no budget movies, you work with those people, you do it, because one of them is probably going to make it. So yeah, I just kind of like take things as they come my way. And this was something, and I was curious too, because I had no idea what was going to happen. And frankly, part of the reason that I said yes was because through mostly Twitter, I guess, I've become, or since Bastion, I've become really wrapped up in just people who write about games. Like, I follow so many of them on Twitter, and I read all the blogs and all the games news sites, and it was a world that I was totally unfamiliar with before Bastion. And there's some amazing, amazing writers out there, and a lot of them are in New York, and so hosting this show was a chance to meet them and tell them that I really admired them. So that's one reason I did it.
I wonder if I can get your opinion on video game acting in general. You know, it's interesting you say that you really didn't pay attention to video game criticism until you got involved with Bastion. And, you know, one of the things traditionally about video games and video game acting specifically is, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of it for being, you know, not of the highest quality, basically, to be diplomatic about it. And you know, that's definitely changing. I mean, you're getting noticed for your performance. And then you've got big, big budget titles. Jennifer Hale's performance for the Mass Effect series, you know, Nolan North for his performance in the Uncharted series. And you've said that it's a very difficult thing to do because you're sort of doing it by yourself. You don't have the whole script. You're sort of doing it piecemeal, maybe not in the right order. Do you think it's just as simple as that, that it's a more difficult thing to do, and maybe it took time to figure out how best to approach this new acting challenge? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of voice acting in games, more kind of in the past, I guess. It's gotten just like so much better in recent years, but you get the feeling like the developer just said, oh, it's good. Fine. It's good enough. It's good enough. Yeah. You can hear them. You can understand them. Fine. And yeah, learning about how voice acting in games actually occurs, how it's done, it's kind of amazing that it's as good as it is because of how quickly they work. Because, you know, the other thing, as I said before, what makes voice acting easier than live acting is the hours are better. A typical voice acting session in, you know, like a AAA professional, whatever production, a voiceover session rarely goes longer than 4 hours, I think. And in that time, it can do hundreds and hundreds of lines. And so if you think about that, it's what's the priority there? I mean, the priority is just get it done, get the lines recorded as quickly as possible. It would make more sense to do it, to do less at a time and just have an actor sort of have the actors kind of with you throughout development so that you can get it all done over many sessions or something. And that's not generally the thinking in most games.
Would you like to do other video game acting work?
Yeah, I'd like to get better at this. I'd like to learn how to do it. I have no real plan. There's no like kind of end game for me as an actor. I'll do whatever comes my way if it makes sense, if that makes any sense. I mean, my only criteria for doing something is like, could I do it? Like, if I can see myself doing it, if it makes sense to me, then I'll do it, and kind of it doesn't matter what it is. I stay away from musical theater. That's the only thing.
So yeah, it seems like there's two kind of dominant schools of thought on this among actors. One is, you know, acting is sort of like a profession that you just take anything that you can get, and the other one is no, be really selective, take only the highest quality stuff. So you're sort of on the former side of it, I'm hearing.
I like to think I'm somewhere in the middle. I mean, I admire. So all of my favorite actors pretty much were like the like American like method actors of the 70s and stuff. And they all got to be gigantic stars. And so, of course, they could be selective.
Why are those your favorite actors?
So I was really, really, really happy when Sean Penn won for Milk. When everyone, I remember watching the Oscars that year at this big like Oscar viewing party, and everybody wanted Mickey Rourke to win. And I was the only one rooting for Sean Penn, and they're both you know, method guys, but like Sean Penn, that was the best acting I had seen on film in a really, really long time. There's just something. I like actors that are flesh and blood, and the method actors that I see are flesh and blood, and they're real, and I see character first and not an actor, if that makes any sense. And Sean Penn, absolutely, I mean, all I see is Harvey Milk when I'm watching Milk. I don't see Sean Penn doing Harvey Milk in a way that, you know, there's a big difference between that and like this Jake Gyllenhaal thing where it's Jake Gyllenhaal again, you know, that kind of those actors that just seem to be like the same being over and over and over again. And some of the method guys, you know, amazing actors, like Pacino was probably my favorite actor. He for a while fell into that sort of like trap or whatever, where he seemed to be playing the same character over, or at least similar kinds of characters. But even still, yeah, there's a realism, there's an immediacy, there's a raw quality to what those actors do that just really hits me and speaks to me in a way. And I don't know, I love it. But at the same time, I also love the like British classical actors and the English way of doing things. And they're very much, those actors have like a workmanlike quality to what they do, which I really admire. They, as far as they're concerned, you know, you absolutely can pick and choose and you can pay the bills, you know, if you're a proper actor. And that's interesting to me. Like, it never kind of occurred to me that that's a possibility, that you can actually pick and choose if you're not an A-list actor with like millions of dollars and stuff. And I feel like it's true that you can find a way to do it. So I'm trying to find a way to do it.
Now, Bastion is your biggest acting job to date. Are you worried about getting typecast?
Not really. I've been getting just like auditions in the wake of Bastion. I haven't really started working on anything else yet. But the auditions, at least for the games that I've been getting, they have been like wanting. I mean, the reason they're asking me is because of Bastion. That's all people know of me. But people think that's my natural like speaking voice, so they want that thing. Typecasting, I don't see. I haven't, as you said, this is my first like big thing. I really haven't done anything before this, and I think maybe I can sort of get away with it, even if I am typecast. I guess I'm not worried about being typecast because I will have time to make up for it later, if that makes any sense. I feel that I'm still new enough that I can make that mistake and move on and do something else. And I would only be typecast in other voice acting roles. I mean, if I audition for a play, they're not going to know about Bastion. If I audition for film and television, they're not really going to know about Bastion. So there's opportunity to change and the stretch and in other mediums and other areas. But it's not a huge concern for me. Like if I am, I wouldn't mind it that much, at least for a little while.
Okay. Well, Logan, thank you so much for joining me today on Second Quest. I've really enjoyed it.
Cool. Thank you for having me.
My second guest is Darren Korb. Darren is a musician who composed all the music for Bastion, as well as directed the voice performance of Logan Cunningham. I speak with Darren about his composing process, some of the music's influences, and the difficulties he and Logan encounter during the recording process. So go into the process behind composing the music for Bastion if you can. How do you go about doing that? Now, do you get completed levels? Do you get artwork? Do you get just the script or just an idea?
Sometimes, I'd say throughout the process of making Bastion, we had some of each of those things probably, where early on, all I had to go on was basically some kind of high level ideas about what we wanted for tone and things like that, plus a gameplay prototype with no art in it. It was just kind of stuff from scanned from D&D books and, you know, nothing, no art to speak of. So earlier on in the process, it was more me kind of going on vibe and tone. And then later on, I'd have specific objectives in terms of, okay, well, we want to have like intense music that could be used for like a boss fight or something like that. Or we want to have, or I'd see some art and think, okay, well, I think I have a feeling of what kind of music should go with this environment and things like that.
Would you tweak the music depending on, you know, how things were going? I mean, if you saw, say, artwork, and then a few months later you saw the completed level, would you actually change it, or would you kind of stay the same? How does that work?
You know, I only really had to redo one or two pieces or fiddle with them later throughout the process. Just the very first piece I made, I went back and kind of redid a little bit, just because I hadn't found the sound of the game yet at that time. And but as far as seeing how something turned out and feeling like the music needed to be redone, I don't think we had any of those instances, really.
Now, some of the music in the game has lyrics, and I think you wrote a couple of those, and Greg, who actually was the writer on the game, wrote one of the songs as well. Is that right?
No, he just wrote the the spoken. He wrote all the narration, and the spoken track on the record he wrote. But yeah, I wrote all the lyrics.
So how did you come about doing that? I mean, was that one of your ideas to have lyrics, or was that someone else's idea?
I mean, it seemed pretty natural to me. I thought, you know, I'd seen other games use songs really well, but thought that those other games, I hadn't heard an original song used to really effectively enhance the emotion of a moment and really sell something in game. I mean, there's some like old stuff, like, you know, the old Final Fantasy games had a couple of moments like that. But so I wanted to try and do something like that. And my background is as a songwriter. That's actually where I'm most comfortable, you know. So it was pretty natural for me to want to do that, for sure.
Talk about the technical aspects of the performance, actually. Is that, was it mostly live instrumentation? Some of it was computer generated? I mean, how does that go? How do you actually do that?
Sure. So the music is about equal parts, live instruments, sampled instruments, and then kind of software MIDI instruments. So some of it was, you know, I would play, most of the guitar instruments, the bass and ukulele and all that kind of stuff, is me playing that. And then pretty much everything else is either samples or MIDI.
What was some of the influences behind the music? You actually described it as acoustic frontier trip hop, which I thought was a really great way to encapsulate the sound of the music. But I also hear, you know, there's some Middle Eastern influences in the music. I also hear, you know, it also some sort of even game influenced sounds to it. How did you kind of develop the sound and the feeling that you wanted to get from the music?
I think basically I started from a place of just trying to, I had a few restrictions that I placed on what I wanted to do, basically. And I think those helped guide me to the sound. I knew, first of all, I had some ideas about tone that I wanted to convey based on, you know, what we were talking about at the time. Cormac McCarthy, kind of a frontiersy type of vibe, but in this fantasy setting. So I wanted to make it feel exotic, have familiar elements and exotic elements, and then, you know, the heavily sampled kind of processed beats and things like that would give it kind of a more modern, but kind of a otherworldly, it would contribute to the otherworldly sensibility that the exotic instruments and everything would provide.
Talk about some of the challenges that are unique to composing music for a video game as opposed to, say, composing music for a show or performing, you know, just for yourself or in a band. What are the differences? What are some of the, you know, unique challenges in that?
Sure. So it's actually a pretty interesting, I mean, the way, you know, I can only speak because this is really the only project I've worked on as a composer. So for a game. So I can only speak about my experience with Bastion, but it was great. I mean, I had a lot of fun, and basically I approached it like each piece I just made a piece that the main goal of the piece was to achieve a certain tone, basically, and to provide a certain level of energy. And that was about all the requirements I had for the musical pieces, for the most part. Whereas, you know, in a movie, you know, you have picture that you score to usually, you know, or a show or something like that. You have a set, you know, your piece has to be a set length, has to have certain moments, based on visual cues and things like that. And in the way we executed the game, we didn't do any of that stuff really. I mean, in a lot of that was dictated by the designers and how, when they chose to start playing the pieces of music and remove them and things like that. So it was, you know, in that sense, definitely I had a lot of help from those guys who did part of the composer's job for me, I guess.
Yeah. Talk about that difficulty a little bit. You know, one of the interesting things I think about video game music is the composer doesn't really know, you know, sort of when the exciting parts are going to be. I mean, you kind of have an idea, okay, this is a boss fight or whatever, but it's much more performative than, say, composing music for a film where you have actual footage to look at, or, you know, even television or theater where you have a set and you may actually have seen the performance before you compose music. I mean, you know, so how does that, what are sort of the difficulties in that, and how does that compare?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for some projects, I know people do a lot more, have to do a lot more kind of reactive music and stuff like that, which is really complicated implementation wise. And, you know, Dead Space, for example, is a game that does like a ton of that stuff, and does it really well. But, you know, in our game, we didn't really do much of that. Which made it kind of easier from both a composition and an implementation standpoint, because when you have to break up your piece either into loops or into stems, and then have like the events that are happening control that, it's pretty hard to understand how the piece is going to manifest itself in the game, you know? So I think it actually, the way we went about it was fairly straight ahead. I mean, we tried to make it as straightforward for ourselves as we could.
If you can talk a little bit about the reception that the music has gotten, you actually have a soundtrack available for the game, and, you know, video game soundtracks are something that have always been really popular in Japan, but not necessarily in America or in the West. But I've seen that your soundtrack has been very popular, and has, you know, sold pretty well, and you're even on Spotify, I mean, things like that. So, you know, talk a little bit about what the decision was, to make a soundtrack for the game, and, you know, what has been your reaction to the reception of it?
Sure. When I was working on the game, you know, I talked to some other composers like Danny Baranowski and some other people who for Super Meat Boy, and who recommended that we release the soundtrack album, because, yeah, I mean, a lot of people, you know, who are enthusiastic about the game want to go on and support the game in other ways and listen to the music and stuff like that. So I thought, oh, cool, you know, we'll do a little run of CDs, and we'll, you know, just, we have a bunch of music, so we may as well release it. And I thought I wanted to do something special for the soundtrack, so I recorded a couple extra songs and stuff like that. And I was just honestly like super shocked when we sold out of our first run of CDs, and then like the second run, and then the third. And I was pretty just kind of flabbergasted, by the response to the album and all the attention it's gotten. I mean, I thought I enjoyed it, you know, I enjoyed making it and thought it was cool. And on team, we, you know, everybody seemed to like it. So, but that was my only, you know, I have no idea that people were going to like it. I mean, I've done plenty of things before that I thought were awesome and like nobody gave a hoot about. So
yeah, this isn't the project you thought you would get really well known for.
Yeah. I mean, I had no idea. I didn't know that I would get really well known at any point or that I am still, but
has it been difficult to kind of wrap your head around the fact that you are well known in certain circles, and you know, you're developing a reputation for the music of Bastion?
Well, that's definitely odd. Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I mean, I really appreciate all support and everybody, you know, who enjoys the music and stuff. It's really nice to know that, you know, the music that I worked on has meaning for a lot of people, and which is great. I mean, and that's a really cool feeling, which I've never really experienced before.
Now I interviewed Logan Cunningham, and I asked him this question, so I'm going to ask you this question as well. You actually grew up with Amir, and you've known Logan for many years as well.
Yep. Yep.
And you guys have even done, I think you did Godspell in high school together.
Oh yeah, yeah, we did Godspell. We did some other shows in high school too. Yeah, we did Little Murders. No, we didn't. He did Little Murders. I didn't do that one. We did Room Service. We did Noises Off. We did a few. We did a bunch of high school theater, and we were in improv comedy group together at our high school. And
how has that been, kind of becoming well known with people that you've known, since sort of like early adolescence or even childhood? Like, is that surreal for you?
I wouldn't want it any other way. I don't know. It just seems like the right thing. Cause I've been good friends with these guys for ages. And, I always knew that I had talented friends, who were going to do good things. And so it's awesome that we're able to do these things together, and it's been a lot of fun.
Now, aside from the music for Bastion, you also recorded and directed all of the voiceover narration that Logan did. Is that right?
Yep.
So how is that? I mean, is that obviously that's different from composing and performing music for a video
game? Yeah, absolutely.
So had you had any experience with that before?
Not really. I mean, so once in college, Amir was doing a student project game that he was making and had me do the sound for it. So I guess technically I do have a little bit of experience with that, but it was just, really minimal. This is the first, I have experience as an engineer and a producer. So recording stuff and, processing audio and things like that is something that I'm very comfortable with. But then, doing stuff for a game is the first time I've done that really in earnest. So, yeah, I mean, it was there was a learning curve at first for all the audio stuff, specifically the sound effects. But yeah, the voice acting stuff has been a lot of fun actually. Logan and I just kind of making it up as we go, not the dialogue, but our technique, for how we do it.
Yeah. Talk about the process of recording the dialogue, if you can.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's changed a little bit over the course of the project. Basically, when we started working on the project, Logan and I were roommates and we lived in kind of a rat hole apartment. And we recorded everything in my bedroom. And I had like a loft bed and my computer was under the bed. And I'd hang moving blankets around the walls and from my loft bed. So I was kind of isolated and I put some blankets on the floor. And so I had a little vocal booth. The rest of my room was a vocal booth. And depending on the time of year, I had to put like a mattress over the hissing radiator and stuff like that,
Typical New York apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's like, unfortunately it was slightly less good than a typical New Yorker. It was a little bit of a rat hole, but yeah, so we started there and there are probably like a handful of lines that made it in from that old, setup. I moved during the process of making the game, and my new place is a lot better suited for recording stuff. I'm able to have my computer in my office, and then I run a cable to the bedroom, and we set Logan up in the closet. And so the isolation's a lot better, and we have a talkback system and everything. And then, when we actually do the recording, we have a process where every time we start, we have a warm-up that we do to get Rux, to get the character. Which basically consists of I find something for him to read with anything, like a cereal box or a back of a DVD or whatever. And I have him read it first as Bill the Butcher from Games of New York. And then I have him read it as the narrator from The Big Lebowski, the Sam Elliott character. And then I have him read it as Al Swearengen from Deadwood. And then I have him read it as Rux. And somehow Rux comes out after he does all three of those things.
Was recording and directing the narration challenging? I mean, more challenging than doing the music, because it is something that you hadn't had much experience doing before.
Yeah, probably. I would say that it feels like I spent more time on the project on the narration probably than anything else, actually, because we did record over like 3,000 lines of narration or something, which and we did it. We didn't move quickly, you know, because I don't know why, but I think for whatever reason, our process was, you know, was a little bit more painstaking, I think, than some voiceover recording is. But I'm happy with the results we got. And I think, you know, it was ultimately, I learned a lot. It was a lot of fun, but yeah, that's kind of the, was probably that and the sound effects both were probably just like, for me, a little bit harder because they're out of the place where previously I was, you know, comfortable before I started the project, which is just the music basically.
Yeah. How did you make all the sound effects?
Number of different ways. It's a combination of, you know, I use sound libraries and then find sounds and put them together and modify them and put effects on them and things like that. Or I'll synthesize stuff, or I will just record stuff into a mic and process it, you know, do some Foley or use my voice. Towards the end of the project, you know, at the beginning, I was digging through sound libraries and combining a bunch of stuff and looking for the right thing. And then towards the end of the project, I realized, I went to Comic-Con, I believe it was, and I saw John Ottman speak. There was like a panel discussion with a bunch of composers, and John Ottman, who is a composer and editor for a lot of the he did the X-Men and X2 and does a lot of Bryan Singer stuff. He was saying that, you know, like the sound of the X-Men jet is just him going like, you know, in process. I was like, oh man, why didn't I think of that? So I went back. That was like part of the way through the process. So I went back and I was like, oh, I'm just going to try, you know, if I can't find a sound right away that I like, I'm just going to try and make one. And so second half of the project, I did a lot more of that. It was just like making silly sound effects with my mouth and then processing them and mixing them with other things.
Do you think that it's more difficult to, you know, compose music for a game, you know, being based in New York, because, you know, most games are made in California, and you feel like maybe there's more of a, you know, more of a understood way to do this, and there's more of a community out there of musicians. You know, it kind of sounds like you were maybe working kind of in almost in isolation in a way. You know, you didn't really have a lot of other musicians that had been composing for video games that you could talk to. I mean, is that challenging?
I yes and no. I think part of that was good for me for this process, because I had to learn a lot of it myself and kind of find my own method of doing that stuff, which I think was probably helpful for my process So I don't know. I'm actually, but yeah, of course it would have been nice to have some people to ask questions to early on in the process. But you know, ultimately we were able to figure it out. You know, Andrew Wing, who works with us, who's one of our engineers, helped a lot with the audio implementation side of things and was knowledgeable about that. And helped me figure a lot of that stuff out. And yeah, both our programmers have been really, and Gavin Simon, really like helpful with, you know, the implementation side of things, trying, you know, and helping me learn about that stuff.
Now, you know, aside from the video game composing, you know, you've, like we've said, you've done film, you've done television. You also perform in a couple of bands. What is there something that you prefer doing? Is it all just different and you all just enjoy playing music? I mean, in general?
So this project's been a ton of fun for sure. And is one of my favorite things that I've done. Certainly, you know, doing this is great. Performing is great. I love, you know, probably just generally the recording process is probably my favorite part of making music. Actually, I really enjoy the process of recording. Yeah, I mean, performing, writing, but probably recording is my favorite aspect of everything, actually.
And why is that?
Something about the technical. There's like a combination of using technical ability and like creative ideas together, and the synthesis of those things and the results you get from that is pretty cool. If you're able to, it's almost like playing a game in a way to me. Cause if you're able to achieve the thing that's in your mind by, you know, performing something and then, you know, using a series of tricks and technical hoops to jump through to figure it out. You know, it's a lot of problem solving and stuff like that. And it's a lot of fun, actually.
Well, Darren, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. I really enjoyed it.
Great. Yeah, my pleasure.